All right, take your Bibles, please. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 41 through 47 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. I'll read verse 41, join me on verse 42, and we'll alternate through the passage that way. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them unto all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And let's finish on verse 47 together. Ready? Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. Holy Spirit of God, help us this morning. Help us as we preach the word. Help us to be in tune to it. Help us to be in tune to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you just work in a special way. Lord, we need you. Our world is in desperate need of truth. And I pray as we preach it that it would be clear and plain. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It seems as though we really do not understand the church in the world today. Man has had almost 2,000 years to mess it up, change it, and make it like man wants instead of the way God wants. May I say this? I want Grace Baptist Church to be the way God wants. I'm not going to share with you the historical view of the church. Historical views of the church are through the eyes of men. We're going back to the original and seeing what God says. We're building our church based on the original, not what history says. And I enjoy history. But may I say this? I'd rather take a Jesus approach than a historical approach. Churches have evolved into worship centers, social gatherings, places of spooky spiritualism. Churches have become welfare centers for the poor and needy, or concert venues for concerts and drama and plays. Churches have become places where weak people go instead of humble gatherings of all successful people to get direction from God. Churches have become missions or minions of denominational hierarchy, doing only what the church higher-ups command. Churches have become over-organized and managed charities instead of a work of God. Man has had 2,000 years to do as he pleases with the church that Jesus started. It's time for us to get back to what Jesus intended and do what he started in the New Testament Baptist Church. You say, well, preacher, modern religion. I'm not interested in modern religion. Matter of fact, I'm not even interested in religion. When Jesus was asked about religion, he said, pure religion is this, undefiled and unspotted before God, is to take care of the poor and the needy and the widows.
Yes, sir.
Going out and reaching people. It's not about all of this social garbage going on in religion today. I want Grace Baptist Church to be the kind of church that Jesus founded, Jesus started, and Jesus paid the price for. And I'd like to do it his way, not man's way.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be much different than man's churches. But by the way, have you taken a look at them? That's why they're so corrupt. Church is important. Church is the only institution Jesus himself started. We did not read there. We'll go there in a little while. But Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18 says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Right.
Jesus is the one that started the church. By the way, he was addressing Peter, but the word Petra, Peter, is the word pebble. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation stone. Peter was not the first church leader. Jesus was. Peter wasn't the first pope. We didn't have a Catholic church till about 330, the Council of Nicaea under Constantine. Everybody doing okay?
You say, I don't think you ought to call names. Too bad. When you're preaching, don't call them. While I'm preaching, I'm going to call them. Church was started by Jesus himself. He not only started it, he was baptized into it, became a member of it, and he paid the price for it.
Yes.
Church is not supposed to be as we think. It's supposed to be as he thinks. Cultural acceptance, modernism, historically acceptable are not to be the priority in the church. How about what Jesus started being what is acceptable in the church today? Everybody doing okay? The Bible, as Jesus organized the church, tells us exactly what is important. May I say that that's the Word of God.
Amen.
Did you know God didn't need man to rewrite the Bible? He just wants us to re-obey it. He doesn't need us to redo the church for, well, this is 2017. I'm glad you know what year it is. Come back tonight, I'll find out if you know what month it is. You know, God didn't say that the church was good in the original. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
He started it and wanted it going till he comes back and gets us. Why do we want to copy the world for the church? That which is going to hell, why would we copy it for that which is supposed to be going to heaven?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And by the way, I didn't mean that it is meant in the right and is used properly there. You know, what society accepts today should have no bearing on what the church does today. Thank you, Brother Larry. It didn't go again. I didn't realize I hit the pulpit that hard. Now, wait a minute. I was put in touch with somebody recently, and they made the statement to me, oh, are you one of those churches that still goes soul winning?
Amen.
That's like sick 'em to a bulldog. I said, not only am I still one of those churches, I'm still a pastor that does it. Believe every born-again, saved believer ought to do it as well.
Yes. Amen.
He said, you just can't do that. It's not culturally acceptable in my area. I said, I read the book cover to cover 3 times last year. I said, I've read it over 35 times in my lifetime easily. I said, may I say something to you, Doc? I never saw one place in the Bible where it said, you can't do it in your city.
That's right.
I said, quit being lazy and accepting the modern way. I said, you dropped your standards, you dropped your sails, and you're not obeying God. Why don't you get right with God and fix it?
Amen.
You just don't understand. You can't do it where I live. I said, you can't, but I could. I said, not my job to do it there. It's your job, bud.
Amen.
He didn't want to talk to me very long. Conforming the church to man has never been God's plan. Conforming man to God's plan for the church is God's plan. We have too many churches that man likes, but God doesn't. Just because it says church or Christian or even Baptist doesn't make it right.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm having fun here. Making church into an institution of rituals, holiness that is visited, or a place of higher intellectualism was never a part of what Jesus started. Jesus didn't say, upon this rock, I'll build my intellectual institution. He didn't say that, upon this rock, I'll build my culturally accepted religious institution. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, watch this, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James only, New Testament, Jesus-started Baptist church. I'm that kind of pastor.
Amen.
Now, hang on for a second. Church was never intended to be a museum of ancient art, figurines, and documents that have become holy by man's standards.
Yeah. Oh. Right. That's
Church is a hospital where people come get fixed up so they can go out and further the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's good.
Now, you say, preacher, are you mad? Not yet, but hang on. I'm just getting warmed up.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Man has corrupted church. Church was never intended to be worship services. I'll get into that in a little while. I want you to see how important church is. But I want you to see how important it is to Jesus, the man who started the church. There's a story. It's a true story. Henry Ford, of course, was not the first person to ever invent the automobile, but he was the first person to automate it and make it reproducible in a factory type situation. Actually, Mr. Benz was the first one, as in Mercedes Benz. He was the first one to come as a car. But one day, of course, Henry Ford's first car that was mass produced was the Model T, or the Tin Lizzie, whatever you wanted to call it. One day he was going down the road and there was a young man. Henry Ford was in his late 50s at the time, and kind of gray-haired, and this 19-20-year-old is broken down on the side of the road, and Mr. Ford pulled up and said, "Hey, what's the matter?" He said, "Oh, old man, this is a modern car. You wouldn't know what to do with this. I'll fix it myself." And Henry Ford just kept on going. He didn't know he was talking to the guy that designed, built, mass-produced that thing. He thought just because the guy had gray hair, he wouldn't know what to do. He didn't realize he was talking to the guy that built the original and knows it better than any human on the face of the earth. Can I tell you something? Why is it that man wants to look at God and say, "I don't like what you said in your book. We'll build a church our way.
Wow.
We'll bring in rock music and have bands and drums, and we'll have a stage show, and we'll have all kinds of worldly music, and we'll gyrate and dance and jive to the music, and we'll attract a big crowd, and God will have to accept what we do, and this is what God would want." My Bible says that was going in the way of Cain. Cain brought in a sacrifice to God that wasn't acceptable, and God said, "Cain, I don't have respect for your sacrifices."
Amen.
Those kind of filthy places they call church aren't church to God.
That's right. Amen.
Well, we'll have ritualism, and we'll dress up the Holy Father like Holy Mother, and we'll have Holy Cow. We'll get up and do our little doojigger here, and we'll get up and kneel a certain amount of times, and we'll say, "Hail Mary, O Mother of God." By the way, that puts Mary above God. And the Immaculate Conception, according to the Catholic doctrine, is not the birth of Jesus, but the conception of Mary. Got a problem with that. They don't believe Mary ever died. They believe she ascended to heaven and she sits there to influence Jesus and God's decision because she is the mother of God and they have to listen to her. Yeah, that's man's religion, not God's religion.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay? I want us to go all the way back to the original. I don't want a copy of the 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 copy that man's messed up. Let's go all the way back to the original. Did you know God's quite capable to tell us what God wants?
Amen.
You say, "Well, you were reading in the book of Acts." And Paul says here, Paul didn't say it, God did. It was written before Paul was ever created.
Amen.
For the foundation of the world, the Bible was written.
Amen.
In totality.
Yes, sir.
Now, like always, we sinful humans think we know better than God. But why don't we just take a look at what God says a church ought to be? Number one, are you ready? I'm actually in a good mood. Don't worry. I'm having fun. All right, number one. Jesus started the church in contradiction to the temple and Sabbaths. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 16. You have to understand, up until Jesus started the New Testament church, the Jews were going to temple on the Sabbath. Now, Sabbath means seventh. Anybody want to take a guess what day of the week the Sabbath is? Saturday. Sunday is the first day of the week. Up until before the computer started putting out
calendars, most every calendar always starts with Sunday. Goes Sunday through Saturday. By the way, in the last 5 years, all of the computer-generated, most all of them that are generated by computers start with Monday is the first day of the week, not Sunday. That's one more way of trying to get rid of God. But Sunday is the first day of the week. Sabbath is the seventh day. God rested on the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You say, why? Because that was a day of rest. But Jesus started the church, and he started it on the Lord's Day, or the first day of the week. That's why we have church on Sunday. That's why the Seventh-day Adventists are a little bit out there in left field. They're out there in left field for more than one reason. But Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. It's not supposed to be the temple. It is the church. We didn't call it Grace Baptist Temple. It's Grace Baptist Church. It's not a temple. It's a church. Now, look at Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. The Bible says, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Notice the pronoun there. I will build my church. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Not the keys to the church. "Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." You say, well, when did the church start? Look at Matthew chapter 18, just a page or two over. Look at verse number 17. Let's start in 16. "But if he will not hear thee, take thee with one or two or more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word shall be established. And if any neglect to hear them, tell it unto the what?
Church.
Huh. Now, wait a minute. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Then he said in chapter 18, take it to the... How can you take it to a church if the church isn't there? You can't take it somewhere where it has not been. He didn't say that you shall take it to them. He said, take it to the church. Now, I'm going to show you something here. The church did not start at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. If you have a Schofield reference Bible, you'll see that it's the beginning of the church. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. We read in Acts chapter 2 just a minute ago, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. In the same day there were," what's the next word? "Added unto them about 3,000 souls." Can I tell you something? You can't add something to something that was not already there. You can't add something. You can start with it. It didn't say that we started with about 3,000 souls. It said we added unto them 3,000 souls. One day they added 3,000 church members. That's an exciting day. I bet you Jesus even gave away bubble gum to bus kids. Amen? Now, wait a minute. You can't add to something that's not already there. Jesus was the founder, and he was the member, and he was a member of the church. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, I want to show you a verse here. Oh, my soul, I got to hurry. I have so much I want to say. Hebrews chapter 2, let's start reading verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9. I'm going to wait just a second. You can catch up with me here. "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, bringing many sons unto glory to make captain their salvation, perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Look at verse number 12. "Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the what?
Church.
Will I sing praise unto thee." Wow. Bible says that Jesus would declare his brethren and sing praise in the what?
Church.
Guess what? He was a member because it said my church. Jesus was a member of the church.
Peter was not the founder of the church. Pentecost was not the founding of the church. Jesus established the church. You say, why? It was a local, visible, viable group of people that were called out to assemble. The word church is the word ecclesia, or called out assembly. Now, personally, I believe when Jesus called the disciples out and gathered them, John the Baptist baptized them, and they became a church that day. All right, and we're going to get into that in a second here. Mr. Schofield and the Calvinists and others will tell you, well, the church is made up of all believers, and it's an invisible group of people. If you believe in invisible groups of people, you have issues. The church is not an invisible group of believers. Everybody that is saved does not make up the church. Jesus didn't start a unified, universal, invisible church. That is what the word Catholic means. Catholic means universal. Everybody doing okay? That teaching never came about till the 300s. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Notice in Acts chapter 2, they had the church there in Jerusalem at Pentecost, and they left and went to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost part of the earth, starting churches. It wasn't a church, it was local churches. Grace Baptist Church is a local church. We're not part of a group of hierarchy, and we're not part of a convention or a denomination. We're autonomous. We govern ourselves. By the way, you won't find those kind of churches in the Bible that God's pleased with. Everybody doing okay? Had a fella, you know, are you part of the Southern Baptist? I said, nope. I said, what you see is what you got. We govern ourselves. We're independent, autonomous. We self-govern, we self-rule. I don't have some fat dude sitting in an office and somewhere telling me what we're supposed to do when he's never met my people. I said, he's not going to tell me where I'm going. I'm going to tell him where he's going if he's not saved. Banker kind of laughed at me. He said, don't think you'd do real well in the Methodist church. I said, not at all. I said, I'm not that kind of person. I said, I don't have some denomination twisting my tail. I'm the one twisting everybody else's tail. I said, that's the way God intended the church to be. God, Jesus didn't start a denomination. He started a local church. Yes. And then he said, you're supposed to scatter and go all over the world and start little churches all over the world. Amen. You know, the longest running institution on the face of the earth today is the local church. The local church. Now, the church was local, it was visible, and it was not invisible, made up of all believers. I have a dear friend in Maine named Pastor Rick Walters. Did you know I'm not a member of his church? I've preached for him a time or so, but I'm not a member of his church. Just like he's not a member of this church. Everybody doing okay? We don't, his church members and our church members don't make up the church. His folks live in Maine and go to church there in Maine. We're in Martinsburg. We're not a bunch of maniacs, amen? A bunch of mountaineers. Wait a minute. Jesus started the church in contradiction to the temple that met on Saturday. He met on Sunday, the first day of the week. And it was started in opposition because the temple, watch this, the temple was the Old Testament that was pointing to Jesus. That's why you had the sacrifices. That's why you had the rituals and different things. Those were all viable things pointing to Jesus. When Jesus started his ministry, he was fulfilling all of those things, and by the time Calvary came, Colossians chapter 2, all those things were nailed to the cross, and he wanted his people to join the church, not be part of the Old Testament, because Jesus fulfilled it all.
Yes. Amen.
Here we go, number two. I'll help you catch up here. Baptism was the method of joining the local church. Take your Bible, turn, look at Acts chapter 2 again. Then they that gladly received his words, that's people that get saved, were, what's the next word? baptized. Did you know you never find baptism without belief first? They were baptized into the church. Notice verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Not baptized, saved. They were added to the church by baptism, but they only got baptized because they got saved. Did you know getting dunked in a pool of water doesn't get anybody to heaven? You know, I don't care how many times you sprinkle Brother Stoltz, he's not going to heaven. He might be cleaner, but he's not going to heaven because he got water sprinkled on his head, poured on his head, or he got dunked under. Amen. Everybody doing okay? Baptism was never intended for salvation. Baptism was always intended as a picture of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, and an act of membership into the church. Amen. I'm going to make a statement here, and I'm going to back it and prove it. John the Baptist baptized by immersion. Do you know there is no record anywhere in history, not just scripturally, nowhere in history that there was any such thing as baptism by immersion until the 300s when the Catholic Church started. For the first 300 years of the church, everything was done by immersion. Did you know there was no such thing as baptism in the Old Testament? The first time baptism comes on the scene is when Jesus starts the church. He's entering us into a new phase because he's fulfilling the Old Testament and starting what would propel for the next at least 2017 years. Let me show you what I mean. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And again, I'm not angry at Catholics or Protestants. By the way, Baptists aren't Protestants. We've been around since Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, to be baptized of him. By the way, that is John the what? Baptist. By the way, anytime you see the word Baptist after his name, always capitalized, and it's not his last name. And it's not John the Baptizer, because baptism was something new. Verse 14. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it become us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, watch this, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and they saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Can I tell you something? If Jesus got sprinkled, he didn't have to go down into the water for somebody to... You don't have to go down into the Jordan River to get some water splashed on your head. You don't even have to go down to the Jordan River, and I'm not going to do it, if you get it poured on your head. You go down into the water to get baptized, which the word baptizo, the word baptism, baptized, means to immerse or to cover in death. When you die and they put your body in the grave, they don't just sprinkle dirt on your face and just leave you lay there. They cover you up. You are put under the ground. You are actually buried in dirt. Can I tell you something? That's exactly what baptism is. It is a burying of death, and resurrecting, coming up out of it, is a picture of the resurrection. Jesus paid for our sins. He died, was buried, and resurrected. That's what gets us saved. And when we get baptized, we're identifying, saying, I trusted that to get me to heaven. Not the baptism. I'm trusting what Jesus did to get me there. And this is what it takes for me to join the church.
That's right.
Now, hang on for a second here. You're going to like this. Baptism was in contrast to the temple ritualism because Jesus fulfilled all of the Old Testament temple rituals. Take your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. You see, he was setting a new organization in place called the church. It wasn't to be the temple, it is to be the church. Colossians chapter 2. Start reading with me in verse number 12, following silently. Verse 12. Buried with him in, what's the next word?
Baptism.
Wait a minute. Can I ask you a question? Can you be buried with somebody sprinkling water on your head? Can you be buried with somebody pouring water on your head? Not unless they're going to pour there a whole long time. So being buried with him in baptism. That means you go down all the way under the water and come back up. Watch this. Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Watch this. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. In other words, the New Testament church and Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the church is a fulfillment of all those rituals and ordinances. We are no longer to do those things because Jesus came to fulfill the law and he started the church. Temple was on Saturday. Church is on Sunday. Old Testament was filled full of ritualism. New Testament's not filled full of rituals. That's why the Catholics got it wrong by doing the priesthood. You don't call me Holy Father or a priest. You say, why? Because Jesus was the high priest. He nailed it to the cross and took care of it for us. Right. We don't need a priest. We need a man of God, and God appointed a pastor over the church, not a priest, not a Holy Father.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? Not a pope.
Right.
El Papa, the guy with $500,000 grapefruit on his head. You see, Jesus fulfilled all of those things from the Old Testament. It was nailed to the cross, and he started the church. By the way, that's why what we call the Last Supper is called the Lord's Supper, not communion, the Lord's Supper. It was a picture of the broken body and shed blood of Jesus he was about to do in just about 12 hours. That's why he said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. No, we don't observe the Lord's Supper every week. It's not a ritual. I'm not a ritualistic person. Say why? Because those were all nailed to the cross. We're not bound by Old Testament dietary laws of the Jews. By the way, they aren't either. If you keep reading in the book of Acts, Jesus told Peter, rise, kill, and eat. He said, I can't. Those are unclean things. He said, not anymore. I fulfilled the law.
Yes, sir.
He said, it's okay. Everybody doing okay? It's part of, Jesus gave us the church. By the way, baptism is part of the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe things all whatsoever I command thee, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. It is part of the Great Commission. Baptism doesn't get anybody to heaven. Jesus was not lost and a sinner.
Amen.
That's why it was okay for him to be baptized. He was not a member of the church until he got baptized. He was showing us all that we're to be baptized by immersion to be a member of the church. Everybody doing okay? Now hang in there. I'm showing you why we are what we are. We're going back to the original, not what people teach you through history. I know they had people through history. They were called Anabaptists. They were the rebaptizers. They were only rebaptizers because you had corrupt baptism. They were still Baptists. And the Baptist church goes all the way back to John the Baptist because Baptist was not his last name. Everybody doing okay? Number three. By the way, the Lord's Supper was not sacred. It wasn't a sacrament. It was a time to look back at what Jesus did for our salvation and remind us about Calvary. That's all it was. I have some pictures on my phone. And every once in a while, my daughter will send me a picture. She's at college right now, and I'm not always with her. And the other day, she wasn't feeling real well. I sat in my office about 5:36 in the morning. I stuck my tongue out and took a picture of my tongue stuck out. I said, "Good morning, I love you. Have a good day." A couple hours later, when she got her phone and got it on, she texted back. She said, "Daddy, thanks. I needed to laugh this morning." I said, "Quit laughing at me. We just had a little bit of fun." It reminded her of me. That picture was not me. It was a remembrance of me for her. That's what the Lord's Supper is. It is a picture. It is not sacred. It is not holy. You say, my poor secretary grew up in a denominational church. One time we had Lord's Supper, and I left and went out of town, and the leftovers were left in my office, and she called me. She said, "Preacher, what should I do?" I said, "Dump the juice out and throw the stuff away." Man, she had a hard time with that. She said, "I felt like I was pouring Jesus' blood down the sink." No, it's just grape juice. It's just unleavened bread. That's all it is. It's not holy. It's just a picture. No different than taking some pictures that you got laying around the house that you never look at anymore and throwing them away. That's all it is. It's a picture. Has nothing holy to do with it. Everybody doing okay? So, lastly, what is the purpose of the church? Glad you asked. Did you know you'll never find one public worship service in the New Testament church? The word worship means tell God how wonderful he is. Paraphrase, the word worship means love on God. Oh God, I love you. Thank you for being loving. Thank you for your agape love. Thank you for how deep you love. Thank you for your justice and your mercy. And telling God how good he is. We could say it's loving on God. Did you know nowhere in the Bible does it say we're supposed to have public worship? Now, please don't get too carried away with this. I love my wife dearly. Good night. 27 and a half years we've been married. Don't you think I love her? And you know she loves me to stay with me that long. But if I just all of a sudden quit church and gathered everybody at church and said, "Next Sunday, because it's Valentine's weekend, I'm going to pull my wife up here, and she and I are just going to goo-goo-eye, and I'm going to tell you how much I love my wife and why I love my wife," and start talking intimately to my wife in front of the whole crowd. I say, "Preacher, that's nasty. Don't do that." That's what public worship is supposed to be. Everybody doing okay? Our church sign isn't going to say worship 10 o'clock. Say why? Because it's not worship, it's church. Yes. Sunday school, 9:45, morning church, 10:45. Sunday evening church, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night church and Bible study, 7 o'clock. It's not public worship. By the way, you won't find a praise and worship service in the Bible either. You'll find Christians praising God. You'll find out that the individual is supposed to worship God in your own time. You don't want me talking love talk to my wife in front of everybody at church, do you? So that's not appropriate. Not appropriate to God to have a worship service either. Everybody doing okay? You do that stuff at home by yourself. Modern translation, go get a room. That got you wake up, didn't it? That's what some of you would say. Can I tell you something? That's what God wants. He wants it private. My wife would turn every color of red and purple there is if I started saying some of those things. And she should. I'm not sure I could do it publicly.
Yeah, well, preacher, if you can't say it publicly, you shouldn't say it.
That's not true. Some things aren't intended for other people to hear.
That's right.
And what I say to my wife in private is none of your business, just like what you say to your wife or your husband is none of my business.
Amen.
And what I say to God in private as worship towards Him has no bearing on church. Church was not here for worship. Church was here for the preaching of the Word of God to change your life so you would go home and do it on your own. Boy, that's good stuff. You see, Jesus started the church and the purpose of the church. By the way, man
wants to turn church into worship. Man started public worship. God didn't. Everybody doing okay?
God no more wants public intimacy than my wife does. God's purpose of the church is to see people get saved, watch people get baptized and added to the church, and teach them to go out and see people get saved, bring them to church and get baptized and join the church. Teach them to go out and get saved, get people saved, get people to church, get them baptized, and teach them to go out. That is the purpose of the church. Any church that's not interested in knocking on doors, telling people how to get saved, isn't God's kind of church. God didn't say, go out in all the world and live the gospel so that every creature will come and say, oh, I want what you have, gag. God didn't say, go out into all the world and have a worship service. God didn't say, have a praise and worship service and dance and jiggle to the music and wiggle like a worm out of in a rainstorm out of the ground. God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You say, why? So everybody can hear the gospel, have a chance to get saved, come get baptized, join the church, teach them how to go out and tell others about Him and further the kingdom of God.
That's right.
God's purpose of the church is to see people saved. Turn to Acts chapter 1. We're in Acts chapter 2 there. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. The last words of Jesus. He says, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. The very last words of Jesus Christ on this earth, go out, get people saved, get them into the church, that's what I want you to do. That is the purpose of the church. He paid for the church. It was part of the church. And the biggest part of the church was that which is getting people saved. I don't care how many hungry bodies you feed, did they get the gospel? I don't care how many poor folks did you give a place to sleep last night, did they get the gospel? I don't care how many sick bodies you put shots into, did they get the gospel? I don't care how many people you flew into third world countries to get them in and get them out so that you could help them. Good things, charitable type things. I understand that, but did they get the gospel? Without the gospel, people die and go to hell.
That's right.
Church is a place to learn how to get close to God so that we can obey Him better and see more people get saved. That's all it is. Church is not this mystical holy place. Oh, holy, holy, holy. God is in His holy temple. Key word. Temple, not church. Now, the Holy Spirit, once you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves inside of you, and your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians says, what know you not that your body is not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is God. And your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The body of the believer is the temple that God now dwells in on earth while you're at church and while you're at home. You see, the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside of you and your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The church is not the temple. Your body is the temple. Personal holiness is as important as the church. And you learn that at the church.
Boy, that's good stuff. Church is a place to come and get out of the world and the world's crowd and the world's style and be around people who want to obey God. Who wants to go to a church that's just like the Super Bowl? And please don't take this the wrong way. Who wants to go to the church, hear a guy teach in Latin or whatever language he speaks in, and then when you go to the bar on Saturday night, he's sitting next to you at the bar getting drunk with you? I hate to tell you something. That's not what God intended. I don't care how holy they call themselves. You see, we're supposed to come out from the world and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. That's called church. We're supposed to be different than the world. Our music is to be different from the world. We're not supposed to have the rock music and the country twangs and Johnny Cash singing in the bar on Saturday night and the church house on Sunday morning. Everybody doing okay? We're not supposed to bring the world's music into the church to attract the world to the church. We're supposed to take the gospel to the world and get them saved to bring them in God's way. That means we're supposed to be at church. I think you ought to hear the Bible preached. I think you ought to be at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I think you ought to have family in Sunday school and learn the Bible more and more, because the farther we get away from the world, the better off our families are. I have no desire to be like the world. Do you? Now listen to this very carefully. That means getting involved in all parts of the church is important for every Christian. Soul winning is important. Man, I was so proud of Brother Fred yesterday, I was about ready to spit. 80 years old. You talk about a hard rascal to get saved. I looked at Fred. He was hours from death. And I said, Fred, if you die right now, you're going to bust hell wide open. He said, I know, I just can't get saved yet. I mean, he was feeding the flames, let me tell you. Finally, one day, he gave in and said, okay, I'll get saved. Boy, God came in and changed his life. Amen. And yesterday, carrying an oxygen bottle around with Brother Barnes, knocking on doors, telling folks how to get saved. And Brother Barnes told me this story. He said they were talking to somebody. I'm not sure if it was a man or a lady. He did tell me, but I don't remember. He said the lady person stepped out and they didn't have any socks or shoes on. Brother Fred said, I remember that. My preacher came and I stopped out in my bare feet too on a cold day just like that. Say, what was that? That's called soul winning. He was obeying God. Can I tell you something? You ought to have seen him. He was wore out. He's not supposed to walk that far, but man, Brother Barnes said, he's a stubborn old man. He said, I had a hard time keeping up with him. That ought to convict some of us that aren't sick. Everybody doing okay? Oh, we're afraid to say something. Somebody might laugh at us. Bless God, I'm afraid somebody won't hear it and they'll die and go to hell. The church is a place that's not supposed to be like the world. We need as many services a week. Did you know that there's night church taught in the Bible? Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 20, just a couple pages back. John chapter 20, after Jesus resurrected from Calvary. John chapter 20, look at verse number 18. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, notice, the same day at evening, being the what? First day of the week. What's the first day of the week? When the doors were shut where the disciples were, that word assembled is the word ekklesiad, churched together. On a Sunday night church service, when the doors were shut where the disciples were ascended, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Did you know that Jesus showed up for Sunday night church? They were having church on Sunday night and Jesus came. Can I tell you something? Show up tonight, Jesus will be here. We need night church. Matter of fact, I don't have time to go there, but they met in the middle of the week. That's why we have a Wednesday night service. I don't care if you have it on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, but you ought to be at church. You see, God gave us the church because he knew we needed it.
You know, no Christian's going to survive real well on his own out there by himself all the time. Man really doesn't need man's church. Man really needs God's church. We don't need a church that resembles our society. We need a church that represents what God said in His Word, the way Jesus started it. I know. I know. I'm old-fashioned. Can I tell you something? I hope that when I'm dead and gone, that my grandkids and my great-grandkids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids and your great-great-grandkids have a church named Grace Baptist Church that's still doing what this book says. 16 years ago right now, my pastor was in open heart surgery. 16 years ago tomorrow, he died. And unfortunately, what he had built for 43 years isn't a shadow of what it used to be. He gave everything he had for it. Well, let me tell you something. It lives on because it was there before he was. We're going back to the original and copying this. Well, what about the next generation? They answer to God for it, not us, but I want to give them a good foundation.
Yes, sir.
As long as we stick with the original, guess what? We have a better chance.
Yes, sir.
We have a better chance. We don't need all the modern junk. We need to get back to the original. Grace Baptist Church is going to be built by looking at what Jesus did in building it. Doing what he intended for it. We're not going to be styled after man's churches. I know. I'm not real eloquent. I'm not going to get up and, you know, Gloria Patri. We're not going to have all the incense pots. Look at them incense pots. We're not going to, you know, throw them out the windows when the bottom's got hot. We're not going to have all the formalism. But may I say this? We're going to have a church like Jesus started.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? If you're not sure you're going to heaven today, get saved. If you've been saved and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, I'm talking scriptural, immersing baptism, then get baptized today. If you're not a member of this church and you'd like to join, I didn't hide anything today. Told you exactly what we were. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion in a Baptist church, you're welcome to join our church. Say, well, they didn't have church membership like it back then in the Bible because they didn't have but one church when Jesus started it. It was a new thing. And then I think those of us church members, including me, ought to be as faithful to every service as we can be. Say why? Because the church is important. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, I've been saved, but I've never been scripturally baptized. We have it available today. The water's warm. We have things for you to put on. But I won't make you. But who'd say, preacher, that's me. I've been saved, but I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism after I got saved. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, God's convicted me in my church attendance or something about the church itself, and I needed that sermon today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores of hands. I'm not preaching to get an attendance. I'm preaching to get obedience. I care about our obedience to God more than just an attendance.